Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
I want us to read from the book of Genesis chapter 21. We're going to be considering the Amplified Version. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 9. We're going to take from verse 9 all the way down to verse 19. Now, as time went by, Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking Isaac. There was something she saw. She saw the boy, older brother, mocking Isaac. All right, let's continue. Therefore, she said to Abraham, "Drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid cannot be an heir with my son Isaac." The situation distressed Abraham greatly because of his son Ishmael. God said to Abraham, "Do not let it distress you because of Ishmael and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her and do what she asks. For your descendants will be named through Isaac. And I will make a nation of Ishmael, the son of the maid, because he is your descendant." So Abraham got up early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar and put them on her shoulder and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she left but lost her way and wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was all gone, Hagar abandoned the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away. For she said, "Do not let me see the boy die." And as she sat down opposite him, he raised her voice and wept. God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy from where he is resting. Get up, help the boy, hold him by the hand, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the empty skin with water and gave the boy a drink. Hallelujah. Now, let's take our seats very briefly. So, I want to call us this morning to a solemn assembly. I want to call us to a solemn assembly. Many times when we decide to wait on the Lord, am I hearing echoes or is it in my head? Am I coming off clearly? Huh? Are we good? So, when the Lord beckons to us to seek Him, many times, ignorantly, innocently, we come to Him in the flesh. And we'll talk more about this in the second service. But this is a solemn assembly, and I want us to take delivery of 2026 now. Scripture says, those who seek him early shall what? They shall find him. That means there is a time to seek the Lord. There is a time that may be considered too late, because the allocation of grace has been taken. The scripture says in the book of Lamentations that it is good for a man to bear his yoke when he is young. That means there is a time that the heavens allow, that grace is given for a man to bear his yoke. And what Satan will do in such a time is to allow you become frivolous. You give yourself to unnecessary things. Things that can take away, that can cause the heavens to turn his back. And believe me, God can turn his back even after making you a promise. There was a time in the scriptures, Israel was being besieged, and they came to the prophet, and the prophet refused to see the king. But the king was also smart. He came with a godly king. He told that man to escort him. I think it was Jehoshaphat or something. And the prophet said, if not for Jehoshaphat, I will not attend to you. So he told them what they needed to do. And believe me, there is always something to do. Anytime you receive a prophecy, every time God has spoken to you, it is not enough to say, I have documented it. You need to stay with the Lord and say, Lord, what do I do? Well, we were leading prayers on Friday, and I said to us, when the Lord asked the prophet, can these dry bones live again? The prophet said he didn't know, and it was a very sincere response. However, God now told him what he needed to do. A prophecy might speak to that which the heavens have promised. But unless you take an extra step to inquire of the Lord, you see, if you don't take the extra step, it is not in every situation where the prophecy will come with instruction. And the Lord does this deliberately because he wants us to inquire at his temple. He wants us to inquire a little further, to press a little further. And this is why a lot of people will get confused, because they actually heard God, but they didn't wait long enough to hear the instructions. Please, are you with me this morning? Are you with me this morning? The church is quiet. You need to be with me, because we will keep saying this thing, but it is the doers of the word that shall be blessed, not the hearers. You heard the Lord say to you, I'm going to do this by the year 2025, does not automatically translate if you are not in alignment with the heavens. Eventually, the king went to war, and they were winning. Now, understand that the king that was given a prophetic word was not a godly king. He was living in sin. Yet, because of the mercies of the person that came with him, the prophet decided to prophesy to him. All right? And that other king, realizing that he was going to lose the war, consulted his own oracles. He said, the price for this breakthrough is your son. That king worshipped an idol that usually requires the life of children or blood sacrifice. And I hope you know that even in 2025, abortion is the equivalent of child sacrifice, blood sacrifice. In those days, they will offer babies on the altar to Molech and some of these idols. And people say, oh, that's so gross. Abortion is the modern day version of offering innocent lives on the altar. And it may shock you to know that it is not in every case that simply saying a forgiveness prayer will cut it. It's not in every case. So you have to be very careful. This king offered his son, a grown-up boy, the crown prince. He offered that boy on the altar to his idol. And God saw it, and God became very angry. That this man doesn't even serve me. But look at how far he is willing to go Look at how far. Someone say, Father, Pastor, you prophesied. Look at the person you are competing with in your office. Look at how far that person is willing to go. The spiritual realm is riddled with so many things. Number one are legal laws. There are laws in the spiritual realm. Number two, there are sacrifices. The spiritual realm, you must understand the interchange of laws and sacrifices. You must understand that even when God said, sacrifice and what? And offerings, he said, I have not desired. What did he desire? He desired obedience. Obedience. So obedience is also recognized in the heavens as a form of sacrifice, because every time God requires obedience, it is because there is, what do you call that in economics? Alternative for God or something. Opportunity. There's something you are turning your back on to obey God. There's something you are turning your back on to obey God. You need to understand how these things work, that Abraham can decide to impregnate a woman. God will have a plan for that child, but it will not take away the consequence from the life of Abraham. And yet, Abraham is the father of faith. Now, this particular story, well, eventually Israel lost that war, even though they had a prophecy. And that is a very touching story that we must consider, that a person, a nation had a prophecy, and yet they lost the battle. And this also is something for Nigeria to consider. I have refrained very strongly from saying anything, but I try to speak in parables, because I don't want to join the noise. A lot of people are just speaking when they have not heard God. A man of God should not speak if he has not heard God. What it means to be a man of God is that you have heard God before you spoke. It's not that you have a title. Do you understand the difference? When they say someone is a man of God, what it means is that the man hears God. The man is a follower of Jesus. It has nothing to do with a title. So when you live in a country that is seriously compromised, many times the Lord will send help from outside. Because he knows that the system has been rigged against innocent people. And if you have any uncle that is saying there is no genocide, reject him now. Because if you are from Benue State or from some of those states, you won't be saying what you are saying. But it is too late for the devil over Nigeria. I said it's too late for the devil. You guys didn't come with your prayer language this morning because you are too cold for what is coming. The fasting, it's not the fasting that is doing you. I have to be honest with you. Hallelujah. I say over Nigeria, it is too late for the devil. So we continue to pray. A day will come in this country, your tribe will not matter. Amen. Where you come from will never be a determinant to what you can get in this country. Amen. And I see the days coming when people will run out of the UK and America and they will start running back here. This brother, Abraham, had received a negative counsel from his wife. I hope you know that if Satan is unable to derail you, he will bring people who are close to you, people that have your ears, to suggest something. The power of suggestion. And you have to understand how Satan works. You have to understand how Satan works. If Satan is unable to get you off track, he will bring someone that has your ears. The person will make a very weird suggestion, and for some reason it will make sense to you. Abraham, well, I know this problem is my problem. Who told you that if someone can't give birth, it is the woman's problem? How did you come to the conclusion? I hope you know that not only was Abraham unable to have a child, his own brothers were also unable to have children. Oh, you've not read it. That it was after he had Isaac that they brought him a message and said, even your brother Nahor has finally had a child. So there was a problem. Abraham was not a worshiper of God. before God called him, he was a worshiper of idols. The land of Ur was given to idols. So there was something in that family. Let me tell you, if you want to go far with God, especially in your personal walk with God, learn how to see with the eye of your heart. Learn. It's a spiritual skill. When you are praying and you are before the Lord, learn how to empty your mind of whatever it is that is bothering you. Maybe you need to rush to the market, that whatever soup you are planning to cook, your friend, empty your mind of those things and then cast your mind up on the Lord. The moment you are able to do that, one of the things you will begin to notice is that it's easy for God to talk to you. And that is how we hear God. Because some people don't understand. They think this thing is magic. We are able to, and you won't master this thing in one day. I am telling you, you won't master it in one day. Learn how to sit with the Lord. And while you are praying, your heart is quiet. Your heart is quiet. Like you have to enter into a place of stillness. And I spoke about this last Sunday, if you remember. Learn how to stay in it. When you are still, he will speak. When you are still, you are able to operate at that frame. He will be speaking to your thoughts. He will be speaking to your mind. And you will see that you will take that information, go to the person that has the information, and the person says, yes, it's true. The person will be wondering, how do you know? You are missing out on heavenly resources simply because you are as noisy as the market. And there is nothing to be excited about. This is your inheritance, but you are playing around it. Because some of you receive prophetic words and you started looking at the prophecy, asking, how shall these things be? No, look and be saved. Look unto him. That's the only way your destiny will have meaning. You received the word, you started looking at yourself. No, look at him. See, as many as looked at him, their face were enlightened and they were not put to shame. It's a principle. Our brother listened to a counsel from his wife. Because he attended marriage counseling and they told him, if you want peace of mind, let your wife do whatever she said. And he quoted me and said, Pastor Benga said, let your wife be free. And he listened to his wife. But the wife was just being emotional. What started as an emotional decision became a battle, turned this house into a battleground. Let us have a child playing in this house. I am not a bad person. If this is the way, I'm sure that woman must be a Yoruba woman. Because she just said, let's bring another woman here. Is it not just to have a child? And she made a mistake. She brought a slave queen. Because the woman is Egyptian. I'm going to check them out. Or maybe in today's world, she will be Kenyan or Ethiopian. She started out as a maid and became a competitor. Who told you have the grace to accommodate another person in your house? Who told you? This is your niceness. Who told you have the grace to borrow people money? Since you have been borrowing, how many of them have... this is Lagos. When people tell you to borrow, what they are saying is give me. But if they say give me, you will not give me. So borrow me. But that money is gone. It's a bad investment. Many husbands here now, if their wife goes to court, their husbands will be thrown into jail. They have borrowed all kinds of things from their wives. God, only God has the actual figure. This man listened to something from his wife and then he decided. There was no resistance. That was the issue for me. The man didn't even say, ah, Koda, no, no. The guy just, okay. Let's even see. And how many of you know that whenever you want to do something bad, it's always easy. The energy is there. The guy just went it just once. Very handsome boy. Because Satan will always give you a look-alike. He didn't give birth to a girl. The promise was for a boy. Satan gave him a boy. Satan can, in the bid to stop you from coming through this door, stop you at the gate down there and say, what do you want? Take, don't enter. Because Satan knows that the real inheritance is the word of the Lord. If it's a miracle you want, don't go there and say, that boy is that being is a useless man. Take your miracle, go away. Don't enter. Because when you enter, you will hear other things. Abraham should have listened to his heart. Abraham was a man who heard God, but he didn't listen to his heart. Abraham didn't listen to his heart. His heart was troubled and he became very emotional. Anytime you are becoming emotional, you have to put people around you who can say, hey, Baba, slow down. You're not fit to drive. Have those people read in your life. Anytime you are getting emotional, I actually like the car. I think I would like to buy the car. Have somebody who can say, don't buy. This engine is not okay. Sometimes I over-explained and say, I will buy a new engine. Just because I wanted the car. I said, I will buy a new engine. I just wanted to buy that car. I was not interested in driving. I just wanted to have a car in the compound. And I did not know how to drive. Just let's say, that's my car. Yeah. No. I don't take it to work. I just to explain to people. 6 months after I didn't buy that car, I saw that car somewhere. The car's legs were like this, and the head was like this. I said, oh my God. Oh my God. It was a Passat, you know. I said, oh my God. See my car. The car was going through surgery. On the main road, though, the car was turned. Somebody was walking on it from the other hand. Somebody was saying, oh yeah, turn it like this. I said, thank you for not letting me buy that car. But I've been very traumatic. Because now I drove my car and I drove past that one. I said, oh my God. When you get emotional, you miss it. Doesn't matter your prophecy. Abraham missed it. That boy was not supposed to be born. But because God was going to be fair, the boy was not the mistake. Abraham's decision was. So God needed to make provision for that boy, even though he was not part of the plan. Do you know how many times God has had to reprogram and reset so many buttons because we took steps that were not part of the original plan? You now created alternate realities in your destinies. Anyways, the boy was fine, and then the Lord finally blessed Abraham, gave him a son, and the boy was growing. The age gap was significant, and one day the mother of Isaac came out and she saw Ishmael. All of a sudden, the fact that that boy was not even supposed to exist occurred to her. And she realized, I cost it. I need to move fast. Because this one that is doing this, when he becomes a man, he will poison my son. So she calculated, waited for Abraham to be in his good mood. And then she threw a tantrum. So I tell you, dear brothers, when you see those tantrums, first leave the room, go out, look for your friends or watch a match elsewhere. Go out. Just go out. Don't stay there. You will not survive it. Once you see the tantrum, get up and go out. Abraham didn't know this. He didn't study psychology. So he fell for the trap. And the woman had only one request. This concubine, not this concubine, this maid. Because now her status was being brought forward. This maid. Our son will never be the heir in this house. But you brought up the idea. Nobody is talking about it, and she doesn't want you to talk about it. What I'm talking about now is what we should talk about. This boy will not be heir. Send him out. For the first time, Abraham saw the Lord. Shabaladabase. Say, okay, Oga, it's your family matter. Go and listen to her. God knew that there was no way he would be able to provide or safeguard the life of that boy as long as she was in the house. Sarah would be the one to kill him. So God took the boy out of the house. So you take your inheritance, you go to the forest or to the wilderness, and that's what they did. But the story for this morning was what happened in that wilderness. The question I have on my heart is, as wealthy as the Bible describes Abraham, the only thing he gave Abraham, he gave Isaac, the woman, Ishmael and Hagar, was bread and a bottle of water. Or was that all? The bread is the symbol of the word of God. The water symbolizing the spirit. When I left my father's house, I left with nothing but the word of God. Abraham, arise, come to the land, I will show you. Peradventure, there is something about your life that God can cut covenant with. Now, take the word of the Lord and allow the Spirit guide you. Those things are powerful symbols, but they are not symbols. They are not mere symbols. They speak to something very deep. Because Abraham was very rich, it could not have been a money problem. All right? But he sent them into the wilderness. Where is the supermarket where they will be buying from? In the wilderness. He gave them bread. And the bread symbolizes the word of God. And I will sing praises to you, O God, my strength. And I will sing praises to you, O God. Marvelous are thy works, O Father God. Great is your name. Wonderful, marvelous. Whenever a man is about to start or begin a journey of destiny, there is one thing that man needs. He needs the impartation of the Spirit, and he needs the word of the Lord telling him go forward. And that was what was given to Ishmael. Ishmael had that, and that is what he traveled with. That is what he was feeding on. And he traveled with it until he got to a point that he came to the end of himself. There was no more bread and there was no more water. And when you get to that point, then it's a time for you to lift up a song and say, give me bread and give me wine, and I'll be forever satisfied. Because there will be a time in that system, in that journey, where you will come to the end of yourself and you will begin to doubt that, did I actually marry the right person? Did I actually do the right thing? Why was I supposed to be in Lagos? You will ask many questions. But let me tell you, there's a secret code. The moment you get to that place and you find that you have come to the end of yourself, look to the one who made the first provision. And then call out to him again. And that's what we'll be doing the next 14 days. Say, marvelous, wonderful, marvelous are thy works, O Father. Great is your name. Say, wonderful,
wonderful, marvelous.
There are situations that will happen in your life and you will be compelled to pray. There was no record of Hagar ever praying in the scriptures until she found herself in the wilderness with a boy, with nowhere to turn to. And then the scripture says she turned to God and she cried out. She began to howl. She was in tears. Say, I don't want to see the death of this boy. And sometimes that is all you need to say to God. This business is dying. I don't want to see the death. This marriage is dying. I don't want to see the death of this. This boy is dying. You cry out to God. The problem is many are already sinking and they are playing casual. Listen, that woman cried out to God. She cried out to God. Look at the scripture, that particular scripture. Who was the person that prayed? Was it not a guy? She cried out to God. And an angel, look at, go to verse 16. She said, do not let me see the boy die. And as she sat down opposite him, she raised her voice and she cried. That was the cry of intercession. She cried. She was frustrated. She felt cheated. Because she never asked for it. It was her boss who said, do it. And then the boss threw her under the bus. And how many of you have seen very wicked bosses who would deny you without blinking? I didn't ask her to do it. She cried. Let me ask you a question again. Who prayed in verse 16? Who did God hear? Where she put the boy? The boy was very weak. The boy was just lying there. There are conversations in the heart that are very loud to God. God have mercy on me. Jesus, please don't let me die. This is not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. Jesus, have mercy. The one who cried was not the one God answered. But the one who prayed was not the one God spoke to. God spoke to the mother. But the one who God heard his voice was the boy. And God, the angel of the Lord, said to a guy from heaven, what troubles you? You know, sometimes when you tell God, but you are supposed to know my problem, you better start talking. Do you know how many prayer requests from the email now? We are looking at the email. 27 million prayer points. As at 6 a.m. you are here saying, if God wants to heal me, heal me. Do you believe God can heal you? Say, if it is his will, you are dead. You're already dead. It was the mother who cried out, but it was the boy God heard. And I want you to understand that there is something powerful about the prayer of young children. The scripture says that God always pays attention to their cries. Their angels always beholding the face of the Father. If you fail to teach your children how to pray, it is your loss. God hears them. God is sentimental about them. God is emotional about them. If there was any time Jesus smiled in his ministry, it was when he was playing with children. So let them come. He didn't have problem with his doctrine with them. It was the Pharisees that had issues with him. Jesus never had. If Jesus walks into this place, now most likely he will go straight to the children's church. They are easy to manage. Look at what the word of the Lord said. Say, do not be afraid. Please tell your neighbor, fear not. If you didn't say it, prophesy to your neighbor and say, fear not. Okay, I don't know who a prophet is. Who is a prophet? Please tell your neighbor, thus saith the Lord, fear not. When God says fear not, it means the solution is already there. There was a woman that was about to bury her son, and Jesus stopped the coffin. He stopped the procession. It was the woman, the widow of Nain. And he stopped and he spoke into, he told the woman, he said, weep not. And life answered in the coffin. Say, weep not. The one who said weep not, the one who said fear not, is dead. He's going to solve your problem. He doesn't make empty claims. Say, do not be afraid. Professor, I say, I will not be afraid. I'm not afraid of 2026. I want you to prophesy. The resources are here. The provisions from heaven are here. In the name of Jesus. The moment the angel spoke to her, the first thing he said to her is, do not be afraid. God puts you in a state where faith can grow. Faith cannot grow in an environment where there is fear and tension. So God speaks to you and says, my daughter, do not be afraid. He said, for God has heard the voice. there was no record of the boy speaking. You see, but God heard his voice. He said, God has heard the voice of the boy. You cried and wept, but God heard the voice of the boy. He said, from where he is, that means where you put him and where he was on the ground there, weak and tired. And he just said, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. God, help me. Have mercy. Have mercy. I don't want to die like this. Have mercy. Sometimes those simple prayers can be the strongest expressions of faith. I was listening to a man on TikTok who normally helps widows and orphans. He sponsors their children to school. So the man got kidnapped. He was kidnapped. And he said he just kept praying in tongues. They told him to lie down. They took them to the bush. They took them to the forest. And they tried to humiliate him and the other people who were in the bus there. And he said, he just kept telling God. He said, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. If not for me, for the sake of these widows and these children who see me as the extension of God's hand to them. Lord, have mercy on me. He wasn't commanding the heaven. He was saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. I must not die here. If for nothing, because of all these widows, because of all these children, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Until they pushed him to the main road somehow, and he got out without paying a ransom. Calls were being made when they heard he was kidnapped. Baba Omoleyi was called. Some of the fathers of faith who knew him because of his work, they were called, and they said the Lord said he will be discharged without paying any ransom. And God had mercy. You know, Job said, if I heard the cry of an orphan and I did not do anything about it, let me die in this situation. If I ever saw a widow and I turned my bowels of mercy away, then this thing that is happening to me, let it take my life. You see, there are opportunities God will give you to sow into future mercies. But when you are greedy and you only think of yourself, you are not conscious of the fact that you just shut the future on yourself. And that is why you cannot be a Christian and be greedy. It is a part of our Christian duty to be benevolent. And God did not say be benevolent where you have money. He said be benevolent as much as is within your power. It's not as if you wait till you have a million. No, if somebody asks for 100 naira, you have 50. You give him the 50. And don't borrow him. Just give him. Put up that scripture. Let's round up. He said, get up. So God was speaking to the mother. And listen to me, you may be a carrier of prophecy, but sometimes you will need to be helped. Your destiny may be bright, but it's not bright now. We need to help you. He told the woman, God has heard his voice, but the boy is weak. Go and help him. This energy for crying, leave it for now. Go and help the boy. And hold him by the hand. For I will make him a great nation. So this boy will not die here. Nothing was said. Nothing was said about the reason why they were praying. So far. Because you are praying and you think the problem here is the problem. God is talking about your future. He's talking about, you are praying for a wedding ceremony. God is talking about your grandchildren. He has seen years into the future. You are here saying, God, if you can just give me one. God is going to give you three. Relax. Look at what God said. He said, I will make him. Whose commitment is it to make him? God gave his word. He said, now when God spoke to Abraham and said he will make the boy a great nation, the woman was not there. Now God has also spoken to the woman and said, I will make him a great nation. Next verse, quickly. Verse 19. Then God opened her eyes. Oh, glory. Every time there is a promise, then there will be revelations. You will now be enabled to see the opportunity. You will be able to see that which is prepared. Every time there is a promise, look closely. You will find that there is something God is now calling your attention to. And that is why you cannot step into revelation if you are strongly opinionated. If you believe that this is the only way God will do it, you will be missing out on a lot of things, because God can use anybody. Pastor, I was in this church about, is it 3 weeks ago? 3 weekends ago. And he told us a story about how his vehicle got, his vehicle broke down on the long bridge around Mowe, the long bridge on Mowe, on the Mowe axis. And his driver saw the area boys crossing to come to where they were. And the driver said, "Sir, we need to run. We need to leave the car and run." Pastor, I was even confused because it was late in the night. They were on their way to the redemption camp. Like, I will leave my car, my Jeep here. Is it like, said the driver just came out and started running away. So Pastor, I came out. I was walking towards the area boys. So he wanted to just speak their language. So while he was doing it, he was speaking in tongues. But he was walking towards them. And so the boys were speaking, "Talele, we are coming to you. You are also coming to us." As they were doing, Pastor was shot. Pastor was just, you know, he decided that the only way to, like, at all, let me behave like a madman. And as he was doing it, the boys were coming. All of a sudden, pop, they just took off and jumped across. Pastor was confused because they were just like within a arm's length from me. They just fled. There were military men driving behind. So when Pastor, you know, he didn't look back. When Nasa, they were running, he now sat on his bonnet. Shakapata yabada. Say, "I'm here." Say, I'm here. But the Lord just brought somebody by the side. And they helped him, towed the vehicle into the camp. And he went for his program. The driver came out. "Oga, one must be very careful. You know, all the..." Say, "Go and sit down. You're a useless person." Baba, I don't know what you believe in that is working for me. Me, I don't have any to you. That's why I have to run. Say, "I don't know if you chop. So me, I don't get anything. So I have to. I cannot compare with myself to..." Pastor can be very funny sometimes. "I don't know what, Oga, I don't know what you depend on, but me, I don't have anything." So I have to take off. The moment you are slow, I take off. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the empty skin with water and gave the body. Now the question is, was the water there all along? No. They were there for a while. They didn't see the river. There was no water. There was no spring. But know this today. There is no miracle that you are entitled to if you don't see it in the spirit. You must see it. Every time you see God's face, you must see it in your heart that God says you will get this thing. Even though you can't fight for it. Jesus said to the two sisters of Lazarus, he said, "Your brother will live again." And they said, "Yes, at the resurrection." They were not getting it. Jesus said, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" Say, "Lord, he's already smelling." You don't know the person you are talking. He said, "I'm the resurrection and I'm the life." The way Jesus raised Lazarus, when he comes back to this earth, he will raise everyone who believes in him. He will, even if they were cremated and burnt, he will give them new bodies and raise them up. As we begin our fast tomorrow, seeking the Lord for 14 days, I want you to give this your heart energy. Give it your soul. Be spiritually and emotionally involved.
Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It is recorded in his word. Hallelujah. As you look and live, I've got a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. This message unto you I give. 'Tis recorded in this word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live. Look and live. My brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only
when I was trusting the Lord to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and having prayed and prayed, then there's our brothers in the fellowship said to me, make sure you fast tomorrow and come. And I decided to fast. There was some story around it, but I fasted. I was 10 years old, you know, and I decided to fast. And it was very tough because I had never really fasted for such a long time. And after, I think that evening, we gathered Command Secondary School, and they laid hands on me. And they told me, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they told me to go home. And they told me, before you break your fast, go on your knees and pray. And the Lord, the power of the Lord will come upon you. And you will speak in tongues. But I didn't follow the instructions. I wanted to pray, but I realized my breakfast that I hid under the pillow, somebody had found it and taken it out of where I hid it. So I was screaming, where's my food? Where's my food? You know, where's my food? Eventually, I found the food somewhere. Then I decided to go and pray, and nothing happened. And on Friday, that was it. Thursdays are very important in my life. I got born again on a Thursday. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit on a Thursday. So Thursdays are the best days for me. And the scripture, well, not the scripture, the English man said Wednesday, wed next day. Wed next day is Thursday. So it's also a good day to get married. Amen. So, I mean, they just called us and said, let's go pray for the fellowship. It was around 10 a.m., long break. And then we climbed the mountain. You know, we used to do a lot of radical things. Nobody asked me if I was a kid. Just join us. And all I just wanted to say, let's bless the Lord. I had forgotten about the prayer. I just opened my mouth. And I felt it didn't just come. I felt the energy of the Spirit. It rose. And I saw all my brothers. They sat. You know, I don't know. Oh goodness, church has changed. I was a new recruit into the Holy Ghost, and they surrounded me. And you know the way those witches will surround one person and point their staff. They surrounded me and stretched their hands and said, yes, take it now. When I finished, they all hugged me. I don't know how we do it. These people speak in tongues, just say, what's he doing? Just walk away. They hugged me and said, finally, finally, finally. Oh, I jumped down. I went into the school. I lay down on somebody that was repressing recovery. I said, it is working. It's working. Raw power. I got home. I started writing tongues on the wall. I write. My mom said, what is wrong with this boy? This religion has gotten into it. I will write tongues and paste it like a sticker. Then my mom will say, what is wrong with you? I said, this one is Jehovah Mekadishkem. Say, what is that? I said, I copied out all the names of God in Hebrew. I started pasting them. Then I will take chalk. I will write tongues on the wall. The way it's coming, I'll be writing. My dad became confused. My mom didn't know what to do. The power was flowing too much. I needed to push it out. Listen to me, these 14 days, something is going to happen to you. There's going to be an outbreak of the spirit. You are going to encounter God in an unusual way. You thought you came to look for him. He will be the one looking for you. Rise on your feet. Let's pray. Rise on your feet. Listen to me. The next 14 days, we are going to secure the next 1 year. And everything we lay our hands on will manifest the same way we have received it. I want you to lift up your voice and pray in the spirit. And as you are praying, I want you to begin to see 2026. See January, see February, see March, see April, see May, see June, see July, see August, see September, see October, see November, see December. I want you to begin to seek the faith. Listen, God is going to provide you with water. Aramaleka sotaya. Zokatalima rahi sataya. Begin to take possession. Begin to take possession. The windows of heaven will open in the next 14 days. You will take possession.